Thank you. Is this working? Oh, there it is. Okay. I'm here on behalf of the CAREX Prison Ministry, and it's held at Gowanda Prison. It's about 20 miles, just 20 miles south of Buffalo. And you may have recalled this from Bucky Phillips, the great outcast that ran away and was running all over the country here. He escaped from this prison. And we go up there and we minister to these prisoners through the CAREX, through the CAREX Prison Ministry, which is a group of fellows from all different denominations of churches. And yeah, you can come up, Dave, and the rest of the group whenever they're ready if they want to come up and get set here. The people that help are from all denominations, and we minister to prisoners from all over the world. Believe it or not, Alaska, Texas, South America, Colombia, Africa, Venezuela, Ecuador, Peru, and Canada. People from all these nations and many others are housed in this prison ministry. This prison, which holds about 1,500 people. I'm going to tell you how you can get involved a little bit here. This ministry is broken into three different parts. And the first part I'm going to tell you about is the outside team. And the outside team, we assemble at a church about 8 miles north of the prison. It's a Catholic church that has bedding facilities and showers and things that we can use. So they graciously allow us to use that. And we go there, we spend the nights at this church. But the outside team will meet and buy the supplies for all the whole weekend for all the different things that we need inside the prison, and also the outside the prison when we come back. They cook all of our meals. They clean up after all the guys that go into the prison. They pray for each one of us as we give a talk. Now, there's 28 people that go into the prison starting on Thursday, and they run from Thursday through Sunday. And we're in there about 13 hours a day while we're in there, except for Thursday night. We usually go in around 5, and that's basically for an introduction to the prisoners so that we can get to know who they are and they can get to know who we are. They're very optimistic as to what are these people coming in here for us. The inmates are very reprehensive of what we're doing there, because most of them haven't seen visitors for, some of them have said, even up to 30 years. They have seen no one from the outside, no family members. Most of them are basically shunned by their families because they've killed somebody, or there's just such a mass amount of guilt. It's really unimaginable. That amounts with these guys. But anyways, the outside team also writes the prisoners' letters. And they're uplifting letters of support and encouragement. And they send these letters into the prisoners. I believe they get about 4 letters a day from the outside team. And that's another thing they don't get is letters from home. So they really, really treasure these letters. The outside team also holds what they call a holy hour, which the last holy hour, I brought you a paper that says holy hour and serenade, has a map on the back how to get to the prison and how to get to the church. And it tells the time and when the holy hour is being held. It's usually on a Saturday night, And at this holy hour, they usually have an ex-prisoner come back and testify as to how the Carrick's ministry has helped him since he's got out. And it's very powerful. And you're all invited to come to that. I know it's a long ride, but it's well worth it. The paper chains that I also talked to Pastor Lynn about was, we ask that you sign up on the prayer sheet here at your church at different hours of the day. And what happens with these prayer lists, we take them in, and the outside team also, they take those and they make a paper chain and they just put your first name on it. Everybody goes on a first name basis so that there's no way that anybody can track anybody down. And they make a paper chain by the hour that you sign up to pray for them and pray for the team. This chain is then put together and assembled and taken into the prison each day we go in. And as it grows, the prisoners see, they're told about this paper chain and how many people are praying for them. And as it grows, they watch the people that are praying for them. And they're just blown away by people that are thinking of them. Okay. All right, now I'm going to ask Dave if he'll come up and tell you about the inside team.
Thanks, Chuck. Hi, my name's Dave. I guess I can tell you my last name because we're not in prison. My name's Dave Pieper, but we never tell anybody anything in there too much. But you might have noticed that Chuck has a lot of passion for these people. I remember when Chuck first came around to, I'd been in a little bit longer, but I remember he came to this first meeting and said, I'm just on a fact-finding mission. And he wanted to learn about the ministry and just see if it was for him and see, I think I can tell now that it's for him because he put all this together and he's got a lot of passion for it. I got to take my glasses off to read. I'm over 50.
You want me to stand down there and hold it?
It's not quite that bad yet. Well, we were going to tell you a little bit about the inside team and what we're doing here, what we do in there, but so far I've been on the inside team. I haven't been on the outside team yet, but I will be soon, I hope. I don't mind going in at all. I like it. But there's about 28 of us that go in for the weekend. We go in on a Thursday night and stay till 9 o'clock, and then we go from like 6 to 9, and then the next day we're in 12 hours from 9 to 9 on Friday, 9 to 9 on Saturday, and 9 till 6 on Sunday. But first night we go in and we introduce ourselves to about 52 are there. 10 of them were there previously, and they're volunteered to be our stewards, our gophers. If we need things done, they run around behind the scenes and help. They've already been through the program, and because of their attendance every Friday night, they're eligible, and they were picked by attendance only to be our steward, and 10 of them are allowed to do another weekend as stewards. They can do 2 weekends as stewards. So we have about 52 prisoners and 28 of us on the inside. And so then we do a lot of singing, and each team member gives a talk of about 20 minutes and a personal testimony that applies to that particular talk over the 4 days we are in there with them. And then we do little posters, and after the talk, we get them involved. We feed them coffee constantly. They're not used to that. We give cookies constantly. They never have that. So the whole time they're there, we don't even care if they come for the cookies, you know, because usually the amount of time we spend with them, something rubs off. The Lord gets in there somehow. And if they come for the cookies in the original part, that's okay. But we end up, a lot of times we'll have a talk. The first night, well, always, a pastor's talk about the prodigal son. And another talk is about how we build walls to keep other people out of our life. The building wall includes selfishness, greed, envy, unforgiveness, anger, hatred, bitterness, revenge, insecurity, strife, and all the emotions. We just kind of try to make them aware of what the walls they've built and then how they can tear it down. But then we have a ceremony toward the end on Saturday night. We use rice paper rice paper ceremony at the end of the day, of day two. The whole group, prisoners and team, are asked to write the name of those who we need to forgive and who we need forgiveness from. On the fourth day, these lists are prayed over, and each person brings his list up and puts it in the water, and it's gone. It dissolves. Rice paper, as soon as it hits the water, just dissipates. This represents what each person wants to leave at the foot of the cross. And other talks are on grace, forgiveness, love, and community. And when we finally we get to Saturday night, we've had a series of talks that kind of build to a point where we then take them outside. They're allowed to go out, and I'm just going to read here what Chuck wrote. I'll add something later. The prisoners are told that people are praying for them on the outside, and some are going to come and visit them. The men's they don't know this, though, when we take them out, but the men's reaction before the fence are very skeptical. This is tied into the paper chains and prayer paper that are hung up on the churches, at the churches in the area. The fence walk on Saturday night and testimonies from inmates about what they just saw and heard is amazing. We've had a lot of, when they go outside and they see, well, last time we had about 50 people show up, and this is how anybody can participate. If they don't want to be inside or be on the inside team even, if they just show up for a holy hour on the Saturday night and they walk to the fence with carrying a candle, and we send troubadours with them with guitars, and these guys start seeing them coming in. They don't understand what it is, and they see these candles, and everybody's finally they start singing to them whenever they get there, and then they're kind of starting to get really overwhelmed already. But then we start singing back with some of the songs we've taught them over the weekend. And then when we quit, they sing another one back. And we do this back and forth about four or five or six songs. And then the people leave. But then we go back into the gym area and circle up and listen to some of their testimonies. And they are amazing. These guys are, you don't cry in prison. You don't let people see you cry, but they cry. And they're just amazed. Someone just never, I know a guy was in there for 30 years, and he, right out of Vietnam, he'd gotten some trouble. He didn't get visits, letters, or anything. And it's just, every Friday night they start coming, though. This breaks them down. But we give them the invitation to join the community of believers inside the walls of Gwanda on Friday nights. And they usually take at least the first one. Sometimes, most of them keep coming every Friday. But on Friday nights from 7 to 9, the prisoners host a church service. We sing, pray, and have discussion groups and personal testimonies. And prisoners vent and get different outlooks on things. And, it's mostly about stepping out of your comfort zone for us, for a lot of people. But I think sometimes we get more out of it than they do, really. I know they get a lot out of it, though, because they treat us like nobody ever treats us. I mean, even when we're outside and we're treated well, these guys just worship us almost. We make sure they know who the Lord is, and that's who they got to worship, but they're very grateful to us. But every time I go back, I'm just grateful to them. I take for granted so much, and as soon as I get in there and do what we do, it just comes back to me. I start counting my blessings instead of complaining. But this is an opportunity to grow and meet new people, work for a common goal, Christ and glory of Christ, learning to give of yourself, time, money, and God-given talent to others. So how can you get involved? But Curex has the two teams, the inside prison and the outside. Actually, right now, I'd kind of like to show you what goes on the inside team. With our groups, we have a spiritual leader at a table. Usually, we have a table leader and a worker from us who are on the outside coming in. And then we have six guys who are already on the inside. And we gathered up about five or six of the prisoners here. And they were volunteers, actually. But we'd like to show you. We gave them about as much time as we give the guys inside to prepare a little skit for you. And we're going to let the pastor kind of walk them through and narrate it. It's the story of the prodigal son. So if you fellas are ready, I guess we better get this show on the road. We really didn't, we don't give them much time. They work with any props that they have in prison, which isn't much. And whatever skit they come up with, if they need a chariot, they might grab a hand cart and somebody will push it. And they, for a little while, they forget where they are. We get them laughing like they've never laughed sometimes, but they really enjoy it. So I think they're ready, so I'm going to turn this over to your pastor.
Thank you, Dave. At this time, what we're going to do is we're going to read the story, the biblical story of the prodigal son. They're going to be acting it out. And as I look at this crew, it's probably a very appropriate story. So, fellas, if you're all set, we'll go ahead. The story of the prodigal son. And he said, a certain man had two sons. You want me to wait a second? Okay. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and apparently I've got to change things. And she sent him into the fields to feed swine. Okay. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating. And no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up, go to my father, and will say to him, Father,
I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran, I want to see this, and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf. Kill it. And let us eat and be merry. I won't say anything. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to be merry. Now the older son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard the music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things might be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began entreating him. But he said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a kid that I might be merry with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has devoured your wealth with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, my child, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found. Curtain.
Well, these guys were about as good as the guys in prison. Almost. No, they were good. You can see how you can have fun with it. There for a while, they kind of forget where they are. And that was probably the highest compliment they could give us, is that we helped bring the Lord in and help them forget where they were for a little while. And then every time we go to Friday nights and you see different ones from different weekends and different things get brought back up, different stories, and it just continues and grows, and it's a ongoing thing. You probably noticed our fish around our neck. Did you cover that, Chuck? Didn't talk about the fish. These are our name tags. We just put our name on our first name, and some of them get pretty elaborate with their decorations of them, and I actually sent mine back with one of the guys, and one of his bunkies is real good with stuff, and it came back the next day. I still saved it. I saved that one, and he did another one next time. I don't know if you're allowed to do that or not. I didn't ask, but I got them. But you got to watch that kind of stuff, actually. I shouldn't make a joke of that. We don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I don't think they care about paper stuff, so we're all right. I wanted to make sure we covered everything that we can't possibly cover everything we do in there. It's unlike anything I've ever seen or been a part of. I know Chuck must feel that way, too. He's real passionate about it. He put all this together for us, and I come and first time I've ever read anything that was I've never seen before that actually flowed so well. So I know you put a lot of work in this, Chuck. I'm glad you're on our team with us. I'm going to go ahead and keep reading what's been written down here to help me remember, to jog my memory, to talk about. But you, like we were saying, you can get involved right from here without going anywhere through either prayer. Or you can start right now. Pray for God's Holy Spirit to move on the prisoners that will be coming on the weekend. We're going to have another weekend in October, and we're already having meetings for it with team members. We have a lot of meetings ahead of time, team meetings. We start team building right 3 to 4 hour meetings, actually, and on Saturdays and Sundays, spaced out between now and October, trying to get people together to get to know each other, the ones that are on the outside team, so they work well together. And because they coordinate, the outside team coordinates all our meals and all our the holy hour that we do, and they take care of it. I've never been to a holy hour outside because I've been inside all the time. This will be my eighth one or seventh. But there's a lot of work behind the scenes, and there's meals for us every time we come out, and we always eat the prison food, and we act like we like it. And quite often, it's better than usual because they don't really want us to know how bad it is in there sometimes, I believe. But those guys are surprised the meals they get when we're there, because it's a lot better when we're there. But they do a lot on the outside team in preparation, and then when we get to learn who's on the inside team and who's at your table, and you start building a team long before the weekend that we go in there. But it's just like all of you getting together every Sunday probably, and after church, during church you're learning, but during the meeting, and then even during the meetings that we have, we take little breaks, and it's just constant building a community, you know, the prison ministry community. We start praying for the men going into prison or into minister to them, that God would give them the wisdom needed to do His will with the prisoners. And pray straight for the outside team to deal with all the setup and take down and clean up before, during, and after the weekend, and a successful holy hour and a fence sing along. There's constant prayer. I couldn't believe how many churches are involved in this, and that's probably why it goes so well. We had the way the pastor this skit actually went very well, and we'd had a couple of other things that we were going to do and didn't. But we did other things instead because of the way it was narrated, which we didn't go over anything before we came. But the Lord has a way of making it flow. And that's why I was the Curex rector for two weekends ago. I really didn't get as intense and worried about it as some of them do. There's some that just pay attention to detail and very meticulous. And oh, if something goes out of order, it's like, oh man, it's terrible for them. But I didn't really care, and I mean, I did, but I've seen the Lord straighten it out and pull it out so many times in there, things that weren't going according to schedule, and you're wondering, oh, what's going to happen? And it always went through because of so much prayer. I know now why. I mean, there's so many churches praying and people that care and doing those prayer chains, and I just hope we can have you do it and include you in to pray for us and pray for them. And you never know. You'd be surprised nowadays. putting so many people in jail for so many crazy things that I don't think most of them belong there, but the doctors and pharmaceutical companies anymore aren't helping with the things that are becoming illegal. I don't want to get off too far here, but it's amazing. You may know people already who are in jail, that your loved ones, but there's somebody, if you want somebody in there, start praying for somebody else, and your family will be taken care of, you know, if it comes to that. But I'll stick to the script. In a holy and a successful holy hour and fencing, I already covered that. You also can fill out this prayer sheet and hand it in. The outside team makes a paper chain with each name on a link that is praying for them at that hour. This chain was close to 100 feet long last weekend. Prayer is not the least you can do. Prayer is the most you can do for the success of the weekend. And pray for salvation for these men and the Holy Spirit to do great things in them and the teams. If you want to come to the fence and holy hour, you can do that. If you want to be on team, we need more pastor involvement. We need more team members. And there's so many things, whatever you like to do. If you want to be on the outside team and help prepare food, and you can either stay overnight at the Holy Spirit Church or come back and forth. It's a long way for us. We're a couple hours away from here, but there was something I was just going to say. Anything I'm forgetting, Chuck? The wall? Oh, yeah. Hit the wall! That kind of thing can happen at any time during the weekend, because that's what, they have to stop our program. All right, at ease, man. But that's just something we have to put up with in there, because at times those guys will, there'll be something going on somewhere in the prison. They won't know who we have with us, but they want to check something, and it's got to be done right then and there, and we got to drop what we're doing and be ready to stop and accommodate them, because we're guests, thank God. But we did have, well, I know what I was going to say, we just recently, they all tell you their stories, and you only hear one side of it, it's theirs, but there, quite often there is, we have one kid, I could actually say his name if I wanted to, I can't remember his last name, his name was Roy, but he kept telling us how he was innocent of stuff, of what he was accused of, and that's okay, man. You know, we're all innocent. We're all guilty. You know, we're all by the blood of Christ and this and that. And I played it off, and turns out he was released because they found out he was innocent. So there are some innocent people in there. There's probably a lot more than we realize. But even the guilty ones, guilty of the crimes they committed, but, you know, they can, we just want to make sure they understand the forgiveness. The forgiveness of men doesn't come easy, but the forgiveness of God, you know, we just want them to understand that. And when they get a hold of that, they really start changing. So anything we can do to help them, that's all we're doing. But we sure could use your help. And thank you for allowing us to speak at your group. And God bless, and to God be the glory. Thank you.
Have a couple of questions.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
While you're up here, I'll ask you these questions, and then perhaps some of you out there might have some questions as well. But if people here tonight would decide, you know what, I would like to be a part of the prayer team, or I would like to be a part of the outside team, are they going to be kept informed as to what weekends these things are going to be going on? How will that happen? Do they receive a letter? How are they kept updated as to upcoming events?
Well, from at this point, since Chuck and I are the liaisons at the moment, we'd be glad to do that for you. We'd be glad to give you any information you want, and I'll leave my number, an address and phone number, and Chuck, I imagine, already has, but we'd be glad to do that and come back any time and explain anything more that you might need to know. So we'd be happy to do it ourselves if need be.
Okay. Also, as they become involved,
in this type of thing, what are kind of some ground rules that there are way off limits, you know, just way off limits when it comes to visiting with the inside group?
That's good. Well, when we go in there, we never tell them our last name or anyone else's on the team. We did have guys that were writing everybody's name down when we did our talks, and we had to tell them not to do that. I don't think it ever came to anything. But you don't know these guys. We don't know them all. We know, we'd like to think they're all going to know the Lord and that everything's going to be wonderful for them. But they're in there because they're very good at, you wouldn't believe the things they can do. So the less we really get involved personally, we never take anything in with us except our license, our driver's license, and our car keys. And if we rode with somebody else, you leave your keys out there. I don't take money. I don't take anything. We go through a metal detector right at the door, and they're usually real good. We're getting a better rapport all the time with them. Some of the guards, the COs, we call them COs. We don't call them guards, but they like to be called COs. Some are Christians, not very many, but some are okay with it. Some of them are looking at us like, you know, what do you think you're going to do in here? You know, these guys are here. What do you? I had to bite my tongue. Luckily, another member took the high road and said the right thing instead of what I thought about saying to this guy when I knew better, and I wouldn't have said it, but. We got done singing at the fence. All these guys are moved real, real deeply. And this old school guard, who I know has a reputation for being a little bit brutal, he says, "Do you sing for the victims too?" And I just turned around and I was about to say, I don't know what I was going to say. I'm not going to think about it. But I remember the guy that said, "We sing for all of them." And because there are victims involved. Yes. But a lot of these guys, and I was so glad he was there. You know, because that guy, I knew him. I knew what he was all about, and I knew the brutality he was all about. But that was not why I was there, to tell him, "I know who you are," and I got to watch myself. But I do watch myself. Most of these guys are nicer than I am. But they're good guys. I mean, I got Chuck here, and he can keep me. He keeps us all going the right way. It's not hard. We know why we're there. We know that we're representing the Lord. But when you get one of these hardcore characters, and there's a lot of it, and that's what we got to work at, so we don't screw up the program. And we can't go in there and tell we have so many different denominations. The word, I had to learn the meaning of the word ecumenical, because we're, and the other one is, interdenominational. Mm-hmm. So we got to be careful we don't step on people's toes and hurt them. I don't care what the scriptures say or whether someone's incorrect in their belief systems and all that. We're not there to correct all that. We're there to bring them in. And I learned how to listen for the first time. I thought, you know, I used to go to the other prison and I had 45 minutes to tell this quick message that I felt the Lord leading me to 30 some prisoners, and I had to hustle through it and get it. But now this is different. This is about listening. And we find that they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You've probably heard that and said that many times. But that is so true in there. And I've learned how to listen. And they pass a card in our small groups of the number question number one. And I didn't even cover that. But we have a card with questions that each person can take a turn to answer. Like one time is, have you seen the Lord this week? And they may pass the card. They may speak on it where they've seen the Lord do something or show up somehow. And quite often I'll pass the first time because I want to hear them all and let them talk. But toward the end, I try to listen to everything and listen to see if the Lord gives me a word in season for what we're doing. If I can have more potent words and less of them, then we can hear more of what they're all about. They need to speak. They need to talk because nobody listens to them, you know. But that's what we do. We don't take anything in with us. We don't take anything from them. They want you to call somebody for them, a relative, or what you quite often might be doing is relaying a message to have somebody killed in a gang. With that, they're so sharp about their messages. You call my sister certain number of times, say, send me a $2 or something or whatever, and that might mean something else to a gang member about go ahead and kill this guy or something. You know, I mean, this is how in-depth some of it can get. So we don't take any messages. But most of these guys are not like that. I know a few guys that were in there. One guy, he's from Trinidad. I call him Billy Ocean because he has he's a black guy and he has dreadlocks, and he's from the Caribbean. And Billy Ocean was a singer, mm-hmm. if you don't know that. But he was he was in there. He killed a kid when he was 16 years old. He's 50 now. He's been in since he was 16 years old. And I don't think they would have hit him that hard nowadays with that much sentence, but he just finally got hurt. He's going to get out now. But after the Kirex weekend and his praying and believing and speaking to the Lord differently, he believes that, I don't know, you know, he believes we helped him get through because his prayers became more sincere. And now he's a big, big help in there with us, but we're just careful what we take out with us as far as information. We cannot communicate with anybody else, and basically we can't call anybody. They shouldn't even know our last name, you know.
Do the prison workers assign the people to come to those services, or do they come of their own accord?
Well, the pastor that is in there, Reverend Nace, he has a Sunday morning service every Sunday. They call it the Philadelphia Church. It's really good. It's a big service. There's a lot of guys come. They have to go through him. Anybody that wants to put in for it, they don't have to come to his church or anything, or even go to church. But he gets their information, talks with them a little bit. They're all submitted through the pastor. So it's nothing to do with any of the prison officials. It's the pastor feels if someone's ready for this program. A lot of them, they try to do it if they're maybe don't have a lot of time left and they're going to get out in a few months or maybe even a few years, but yet it looks like they're winding down on their sentence. So he tries to get us people like that or someone he feels is sincere about changing or the Lord.
Does anybody out there have any questions that you'd like to ask? Lori.
How often do you do the program? No, we do it twice a year, one in the spring, one in the fall. We just did one. It's not always at the same time every year, whenever we can coordinate, because there's other programs with some of our members. The Koinonia groups up in Chautauqua Institute puts on, so we don't want to interfere with that. And then that's for anybody 20, 21 and over. And then they have another group called Footsteps for the younger teenagers, and I work with them sometimes too. And we don't want to take away. We try to coordinate when weekends that aren't going to conflict with them. But it's twice a year. But anybody that completes this weekend in the prison is allowed to come from then on every Friday night. So that's what we're looking for, is to build that community, Christian community in the prison, go on to prison. So it's weekly for them after that, though they get a refuge to go to, you know, sanctuary.
Any other questions? If not, I have one more.
There's a lady.
Oh, is there? I'm sorry.
Has this program expanded beyond
Florida? It's funny you ask. We're just now looking at going into Brockton. That's a shock kind of thing. That's a more intense. It's going to be harder to get in, and we won't be able to do as long a program because they have such a rigid. That's like a boot camp type program, and we're looking at it. I live close to Marionville Prison, and I thought about trying to get something going up there, but it's not real easy to get going, and you need more help. And we do Collins right next door. It's not Kirex, it's Kairos, or CCM. We they're right next door to each other. And then there's, I don't know if anybody goes into Wendy. I don't know. But there is another, we rotate some of our members to the, if you didn't get called for Keurig, then some of the guys will go to the other one right next door, because they have two programs a year for that prison also. We're trying to get more going. As time goes on and we realize how the caliber of people in there are not, it's amazing they don't, that they send them to prison for some of this stuff. I work with special needs guys too, and I had a guy, he's in jail now, but he don't belong in jail. He's got an IQ of in his 50s, and he needs, well, they used to have North Warren, and they used to have different places, and they just, this new government and stuff, they're cutting away some of that stuff, you know, the help that they used to have for them. But so a lot of people are in prison, and really prison isn't the place for them. So if we can just, you know, they need counseling with stuff. A lot of it's drug-related, alcohol-related. I mean, when you, obviously nobody has much sympathy for a drunk driver after you've had a relative killed. But I've seen it from the other side now. I've seen a guy devastated because he killed someone when he was an engineer. He has two daughters, and he just, until we came, he just felt he deserved to be there. He deserved to die. You know, he did not have a reason to live. I mean, he was so unhappy and dejected and felt, you know, he'd never be forgiven because of he hurt that family so bad. And it only takes an instant, having a couple too many, or even if you're not drunk, if you hit somebody, you're going to feel pretty bad. Mm-hmm. But he knew he had a drinking problem, and he kept saying, I belong here. And I kept saying, nobody belongs here, you know. And finally, he became one of our inside steering committee council members. He's Catholic, and they don't have many Catholic services. They have a Hispanic pastor or deacon there, and he kind of caters more to the Hispanics anyway, and it's tough for them. But now he's got Friday nights, and it's encouraged him a lot. He's talks to me about his daughters. They like horses, and he knows I was a dude wrangler for a while with different places, and I talk to him about horses and his kids, and he shows me drawings and stuff, and he's growing. He's forgiven himself, finally, you know. But I know a lot of people don't ever, they figure drunk drivers belong there. They really don't, they're not criminals as much as they are sick, you know. That's my opinion, but I don't need to get into that. But anyway, it seems like there's a lot of good guys in there, a lot of good people. And we know, just hanging out with these guys, I know these guys know guys that are downtown that you probably work with, that probably drink too much, probably do other things, that we're trying to reach them out here, you know. And if we could just, and some of them end up in there. But they're no different than the ones that are still out here, except something bad happened to them. So if we could keep that perspective, get back to the original question.
Okay. Randy?
On your Friday night services, is there somebody from the outside helping direct those and lead those, or is it all inside?
No, we actually try to encourage them to take it over. Whenever I have something to say, I ask permission to say it on those weekends, and they're going to let you. But I want to respect the fact that we empowered them. They're empowered to run the meeting, you know. And we always have a facilitator. Friday was my night to go, and another fella, so we went, and Chuck came. And anybody else is allowed to come. We could have all 28 of us or more. We have many people allowed to go in on Friday nights. So there's no limit. Once you're okayed to go in there, you're allowed to go as often as you want. I used to go every Friday, and it's a two-hour drive one way, but I was getting so much out of it, and at that point in my life, I needed it, and it just made me so much thankful. My problems sort of faded away by going there every Friday, you know. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's totally Christian. It's totally all about Jesus. I mean, we don't stress denominational stuff as much. We try to, that's where I had to learn ecumenical, you know, what that really meant, because I felt, you know, my mission in life, no matter what anybody said, was to explain that the grace of Jesus Christ and get away from that old bondage of the Old Testament, you know, and all that. Well, some of them are still coming out of that Old Testament and don't realize it's... I felt like I had to... I mean, we got certain people in there that have belief systems, and I try not to tread on that anymore, because, you know, if you've ever had a real experience where you've been forgiven and then somebody tries to put you back under the old law again, you set them straight real quick. Like, we're not under that old covenant. We're under grace. But I don't do that in there, because some of these guys are, I mean, especially Jewish. Catholic, they're still under a lot of law, you know, and if it, I don't want to say anything to offend them. I don't care who's right. We try not to get into it. We had one guy, altar calls were new to some of these different denominations. They don't do it. And so one guy, it was his mission to start doing it. And so he would have an altar call and being proud of whoever came in and saying it to everybody that so-and-so just came and gave his life to the Lord. And that is a great thing, and between him and the Lord. But it's not something you need to tell people that it's going to be, they're going to talk about it out in the main thing. I mean, this is private stuff. You kind of got to, when we're in the auditorium on a Friday night, that's different than the weekend too. This guy was just going, he was a lone ranger, you know, trying to save the world. And then he was keeping a notch. Everybody he led to Christ, it was all about him. I remember he said one time, the greatest day of his life was when he led 3 people to the Lord in one day. Well, that's a great thing, but what about, that was probably their greatest day too, you know, and he's more or less, it's kind of all about him, you know, keeping track of how many people he's led to the Lord and stuff like that. I don't know if you understand what I'm getting at, but we're trying to, but yeah, when it comes to the Muslim stuff, they are there. We actually tell them to be careful, you know, before you speak to a man about the Lord, you speak to the Lord about the man. We tell them that before they go out into the main population, because, you know, that could get them in some serious trouble with different groups.
Well, that's what I was also referring to. I know in our present-day military thing, they're trying to take out of certain physical things that the gentleman would say. So I just wondered if that was an influence taking into the prison or something in there as a thing.
Now, I know what you mean. I've been watching that stuff myself. They're trying to turn us into a new world order and a one world government and all that. And it's not hit Curex yet, because we still tell them it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. There's nothing, you know, we don't put them under anything else. And they're allowed to say that, and we encourage them. We read the Bible. They read scripture out of it. Somebody's got a scripture reading to give every Friday. Somebody's got a testimony every Friday, and anybody else who wants to get up and do something. In fact, sometimes we got to shut them up. Sometimes they go on and on, you know. But not really. We try not to, but some of them will just go and go because they're not heard, you know. They get up there, and it's the most important thing for them to say, but it's not the most important for everyone else to have to hear it all, because they don't realize how we sound. Some of us are like that. I guess I go on and on too. Yeah, it's interesting. You'll be amazed. We had one guy, I'm glad you're asking these questions. This is why we did the skit. This is why we did some stuff, because one guy, he's now our secretary on the council, but last time we went in, time before last, he was a coach, football coach, and he was right down to the wire. He was really nervous about going in there, and it's nothing to it. I mean, this is, I made jokes, bad jokes, saying a couple times, our troubadour says something. He was nervous too, and I said one time, says, "Don't worry, Skip." Says, "Nobody's been hurt or killed in at least 3 months," and you know, as far as I know, no one ever has, you know. But he says, "Thanks, Dave." You know, it made him feel better. But the other guy was listening to all this, and he didn't realize that was a joke, I guess. But he was real tense right up till the very day we went in, and now he's the most relaxed guy in there and one of the biggest assets that we have, because he used to be a coach, you know, so he, you know, he's got influence. He knows how to talk to these guys, you know. So we need anybody, military, coaches, pastors, anybody, you know, everybody.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Pleasure.
In this morning's message, we ask the question, what is God asking you to do? Is it possible that God is going to be asking you to become involved in this type of ministry? I want to read something to you. It comes out of the Gospel of Matthew in the 25th chapter. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." There are ways, whether you're going to be prayer warriors, whether you're going to be part of an inside team, whether you're going to be a part of those who celebrate in that worship hour and do the singing and that type of thing, there are ways to become involved and be able to reach someone for Jesus Christ. So I encourage you to very carefully and sincerely pray and ask the Lord, "Are you asking me to become involved in this kind of ministry?" Because you never know. God can use just the smallest thing to make an eternal difference in someone else's life. I'm going to ask you to stand, and what we're going to do is we're going to ask the fellas, all three of them, if they would kind of work their way out and stand by the door and greet you. And if you have any questions that you'd like to ask them, please feel free to do that. We're going to close in a word of prayer. And I want to thank you, fellas, thank you for coming and sharing with us this opportunity to be able to be involved in people's eternal lives. Shall we pray? Our gracious Father, again, we thank you. We thank you for, Lord, for these who have a passion, for those who are in difficulty. And Lord, I would ask you to please give us direction. Give us clear understanding. Give us clear wisdom. Lord, help us to be able to determine if this is an area where you want to plug us in into your kingdom outreach. Now, Father, please watch over us this coming week. Let us be aware of the opportunities that you give us to share your grace and your love with those we come in contact with. Father, we love you. And thank you for your love for us. For it's in your awesome and glorious name we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed. We'll give the fellows a chance to get towards the back. And when my hand drops, you will be allowed to leave your pews. Brother, you better head back that way because they're not going to go until you get back there with them.